Yo, what is up? Welcome to the Hype Geek Podcast, where we talk to you about what's hype in the culture of gaming. This week, we have another guest, second guest of season three, Ahad, baby. What's up, Ahad? How are you, man?
Dude, doing well, man. How you guys doing?
We're all great, dude. We're doing
fantastic, man. Better now that I hear your beautiful voice.
Dude, so listen, a big thing that we do over here is fit checks. So we want to start this podcast off, get a little bit of a fit check from
right
you
into it,
you know, then maybe learn a little bit more about you if we're feeling like it. If not, we'll just say fuck it, Ahad, mute you, and then do the rest of the podcast where we talk to each other.
Wow, it's funny because we usually do an intro on him, but we're gonna let our viewers completely judge him based on his outfit right off the bat. All right, go for it.
Go
fit check. No pressure though.
I mean,
no,
the intro pressure will come. You guys will learn more about Ahad. I mean, just know he's a streamer and he's dope. Go ahead.
I'm just wearing like my pajama shorts and then this hoodie.
Stand
I
up.
Just got back from work and got comfy.
You'd go top down or bottom up of your fit? Like, are you going to talk about it from the bottom or the top?
I mean, we could talk about it from the bottom, I guess.
All
I
right.
Mean, it's just
second bottom in a row.
See it. It's like, oh shit.
Wait, low key. Color matching. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
So what is it? Wait. Speak on what the shorts are.
Oh, I didn't know you couldn't hear me. Nike shorts, literally just sweat shorts, white shirt, champion hoodie, comfort.
For those at home.
Cozy fits, baby.
Gray,
cozy fits, exactly.
Yes, gray Nike sweat shorts with a pink hit of Nike on the left thigh. And then the upper is, it seems like a heavier champion hoodie. It's pink, which is the same color of
the
Nike logo.
It's the heavy material.
Nice. Let me ask you. What compelled you to buy that champion hoodie? Was it inspired by all these champion collabs that are coming out? Did someone from Champion give it to you? Because we know you're goated like that. What's good?
Now, this specifically, I actually bought. I used to be like really heavy and I used to just wear like random clothes that would just fit me. So when I lost weight, I started buying like dope clothes, like stuff that I was like, yo, that's sick. Right. So I walked into Urban Outfitters and I was like, dude, pink hoodie, I'm buying it. And I did on the spot.
That's confidence to the next level, bro. You went from like, I just wore whatever because I was overweight to I'm getting a fucking pink hoodie and I'm wearing it.
Exactly what, dude, I did.
Respect. Okay, listen, I also noticed that behind you, there's some dope shit. And our previous guest had some dope shit behind him. It's collectibles. Listen, we're hype geeks. We love collectible shit. We're culturally aware gamers. I see a GameCube and I see a Master Chief helmet.
Yes.
What's the story?
GameCube. Master Chief helmet from Halo 3 Legendary Edition, 2007.
Yeah.
And then PlayStation 3, it's the retro edition, so it has like the sliding top disc case.
Wait, what's the retro edition? I've never heard of that.
Basically, yeah, I can grab it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do it.
Bet.
Dude, his stream background is so much sicker than low-key all of ours. I mean,
of course.
Rustin, yours is second. Well, me and Aryan got the blue bed sheets in the background.
Immediately, beds are just...
Aryan's like, got the Oculus VR for pornography behind him.
Just, Dr. Disrespect calls it bedroom streamers. We're all bedroom streamers,
bedroom,
bro.
Bedroom streamers. Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I've seen this. But it's the retro edition? I just thought it was like...
That's what it was called. That's
really?
What my uncle gave me this. And he said he bought like a special PlayStation 3 because he had the big fat one.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, this is like the retro edition. So that's just kind of in my head. I mean, it looks pretty retro too, you know, with this going on.
You know, you've talked about your uncle a lot. Was your uncle like an influence on you getting into gaming? Was that, did he?
Yes, actually he was. We were like pretty broke back in the day. So I had a GameCube from like, I think it was like my dad's or something.
Is this the same silver GameCube behind you? Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
This is like an OG GameCube.
Got it. So there's memory attached to this aside from the gaming.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, eventually like I grew out of it because it was just not, I guess, cool to always play Mario and Smash and stuff. So my uncle one day bought me a 360 with like Battlefield and Halo and some other games. So he's actually the reason I got into FPS games in the first place. Because he's also the same uncle that introduced me to Counter-Strike after we moved into our first house.
So your first console was the Cube. Was the GameCube.
I think my first console was the OG Nintendo. I have it in my garage.
Oh, fire.
Like NES?
Yes.
Wow.
Sick. What was your favorite game on that?
I just Smash Bros, dude. Like
NES or N64?
No, not Smash Bros. Sorry, Super Mario Bros.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yes.
About awesome. To revoke your gamer card right there, dude.
Spin cap.
Yeah.
Spin cap. No, yeah, Super Mario Bros. Like the OG. That shit was fire. I still play that on the emulator sometimes on my PC.
So, okay, listen, you know, we know that you're a gamer, right? But I don't think the podcast or the stream really has a deep knowledge of a HOD. So what I want to do is kind of introduce you and then would love for you to kind of fill in the dots here. So
okay.
I met a HOD randomly during the rise of Valorant, like in 2020. I hop into this dude's stream and he's got like hundreds of people watching him. Were you like one of the only people giving away a Valorant code? Key?
For a week, yeah. I was one of the few people with drops enabled.
Yeah, so I tapped in to get some drops and I think it was because Avalanche retweeted you or something. That's how I found it. I have no idea. And I was just like, yo, what's up? And you were super chill and you had this harmonica that you played for like a follow or something, and then we just started connecting over Twitter, became good friends, and I just have seen you as a streamer and content creator, and I think it'd be really interesting for people that listen to Hype Geek to kind of understand what that lifestyle is like. So I guess, like, without further ado, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into streaming, and what's the motivation behind it?
Dude, I started streaming when I was 13.
No way. What?
Yeah.
Wait, so what year was that?
Wow.
2013.
Holy shit, dude. So you're early. Okay, okay.
Yeah, right after Twitch became Twitch from Justin TV, I am like a big Minecraft nerd. Or I was. I grew up with Minecraft and Counter-Strike pretty much. And with Minecraft, I was kind of like on the forefront of how it became what it is now in terms of like the PvP community and all the advancements and the new mods and the new servers and stuff. And I was actually a moderator on a server called MCPVP, a pretty big server, actually one of the biggest servers. And they had me stream on their Twitch channel. I had to wait until I was 13, but then I got to stream on their Twitch channel.
Wow.
That's and, sick. You know, the interaction, me like kind of sitting there and it was kind of like casting pretty much like games, and I'd also play some games, but I'd also cast like the better players and stuff, and just kind of hang out with that community. And at the time, dude, there would be like 100-200 viewers a stream on their channel, so I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just kind of hanging out, but I really fell in love with that and ended up streaming on my own channel the next year, 2014. And funny enough, I started streaming on Twitch to kind of show my friends that I wasn't cheating in games, like my real life school friends. So I think I started streaming Black Ops 2 on like the tail end of 2013 and then Counter-Strike 2014. And then from then on, it would just be Counter-Strike, it'd be Apex Legends, it'd be Blackout, it would be any FPS game that came out. I even streamed Fortnite for a little bit. That was the first time I was hitting like triple digit viewers, quadruple digit viewers.
Wow.
So you're telling me you're so cracked, your friends didn't believe that you weren't cheating, so you just had to stream?
Yes. My school friends thought I would cheat in Black Ops 2 and Counter-Strike.
What numbers were you pushing?
I would hop on Black Ops 2 and I would drop like 70 kills per domination match.
He's a human aimbot, everybody. He's a human aimbot.
Like, wait, you said console, right? So controller?
Yes.
Oh, and now you're onto mouse and keyboard?
Mm-hmm.
When you play COD now, are you a mouse and keyboard or?
Yeah, I'm on mouse and keyboard. I haven't touched the controller since.
Damn. Mm-hmm. All right. When you were starting to stream and you started to hit those triple digit numbers, what would you attribute to that growth? Was it just being there at the right time? Was it your personality? Was it just raw skill? What would you say?
So the first time I was hitting triple digit numbers, it was because that Minecraft server I was streaming for, they had an audience already. Mm-hmm. The second time I was hitting triple digit numbers was because I would be one of the few people that would do solo squads on Fortnite, and I'd be dropping like 20 kills a win, 20, 25 kills a win. So I like to believe it's a little bit of both. I try to make a really comfy environment for people to come to my stream and just hang out. It's literally just hanging out. It's nothing formal. It's nothing professional. So I like to think that that's why people watch, and that's why I can hit those numbers and have hit those numbers, and hopefully we'll continue to hit numbers like that.
Yeah, low-key, your voice is hella comforting. I don't know if it's your mic or your voice or both. Am I the only one thinking that?
No.
Every time you hop on a call, it's just like, bro, this is literally high-quality, like, radio-style voice, man.
Every time I hop on a call, every time I hop in the stream, I have to mention that something about his voice.
It's a beautiful voice.
Nice. Always. It doesn't go untouched. That's a fact. So wait, you're telling me those days we're playing Halo 3... You're playing on mouse and keyboard when the meta is clearly controller?
Yeah.
Wow, you're Wait, that's why you're so cracked at SWAT. I should do that for SWAT games.
Shoot, SWAT with mouse and keyboard? Literally, all I do for aim practice, for Valorant, is literally flick between heads, bro. And SWAT is so easy. It's a one-tap headshot. That's like my dream. Just walk around and kill everybody. That's why I suck so much when we play Slayer.
Russ, the Slayer strat.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask one question about kind of the growth, and then we could get into like what you're doing now. But like, was there a point, like, I know you started hitting those numbers through like Minecraft PvP and like being a mod on there, and then Fortnite, but was there a point where you're just like, I need to go full-fledged into streaming, like this could be a possible career? Or was it always just like, I'm just gonna keep doing this for fun and see where it goes?
No, I'm still doing it for fun and seeing where it goes. I work full-time and I stream right now.
What do you do?
I do mortgage loans and real estate.
That's a pretty stark difference from playing games all day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is there any time in your day when you're working where it's like, bro, I could just be streaming, hitting hundreds of viewers right now if I just keep grinding? Or are you just so good at balancing both where it's like, it doesn't matter?
No, man, I'm not good at balancing both. It's really difficult because they're both full-time jobs at this point. And, you know, I don't always hit triple-digit viewers. That's the issue, is like Twitch is so saturated to where, you know, I went up like 8,000 followers in like 6 months. And I hit crazy numbers. I have insane stats. My sponsorship deck is so great looking, but I still can't always average triple digit viewers. It's it's hard, man. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's that's why right now I'm like focusing on like TikTok and YouTube Shorts, trying to create an audience to where I can average triple digit viewers every stream, but it's difficult, man. Especially because I don't have the time.
You got to tap into those other medias. What kind of content are you making for TikTok? Is it just clips, or are you doing personal stuff too?
We did clips for a week, and I had a TikTok manager. He was doing everything for me, but then a bigger creator kind of took him over the weekend permanently because he's obviously paying a lot more. So I was like, hey, man, don't sweat it. That's a big opportunity. So now I'm going to do like character specific, map specific setups, lineups, like tutorial type content, and then clips. So I want to upload twice a day. So one of each every day should be kind of a good little medium there.
And you mentioned before, so this is a new topic for the chat, but you're into like mechanical keyboards and the high end desk setup. Like, I know you have a Shure mic right now. Congrats on that, Cop. Sure.
Thanks, man.
And you know, you're very detailed in how you purchase your mouse pad, your wrist pad, all that stuff. So what about like tapping into those small little communities that actually have a big niche market, like the mechanical keyboard community? Do you build the keyboard yourself, or do you buy?
I have done basic building. In terms of like hot swappable keyboards and stuff like that, I haven't gotten to the soldering yet. That's pretty difficult, in my opinion, because you have to be very precise with what you do. But tapping into those niche communities it's a good idea, but it also depends on time. And it depends on what I'm willing to dedicate my time to. Because, yeah, I can make like mouse review videos because I know a lot about mice. You know, I know a lot about sensors and the keys and the weight and how they affect your gameplay and how they work in relation to a mouse pad and everything like that. And, you know, I know a lot about mouse pads, right? Like texture, how tightly the thread is like sewn, and just like all different types of things. But I kind of know all this stuff, so it benefits me personally in how I play. Making videos and whatever and tapping into those communities, it would take a lot of time away from me creating those TikToks and creating like streaming hours and stuff like that. Because, dude, like I said, time, if there was more hours in the day, I could probably do everything I wanted to. But working full time, coming home and streaming every day, and doing like the TikTok and YouTube stuff, it's pretty hard to balance already.
Let me ask you something. So I know that you said that you're just, you know, streaming, trying to figure it out as you go, but what's the end objective with streaming? I remember us talking about it, but I'd love for you to kind of reveal it and then understand, like, with that in mind, what platform are you really, really focused on aside from Twitch? Because like you said, Twitch doesn't have discovery, right? So if there's other people listening to this that are streamers or content creators themselves, like, you know, it'd be interesting for them to know how you're thinking about it on a deeper level.
Well, the way I'm thinking about it is I want to curate most of my community on YouTube. But in terms of Twitch and content in general, the end goal is possibly getting myself to a point where gaming in general kind of generates enough income for me to focus on gaming to kind of skyrocket what I'm trying to do. And what I mean by that is I want to either join a team or pick up like sponsorships or whatever that can kind of help me dedicate more time to this, so I can make more YouTube videos, so I can do more structured streams focused on, like, you know, FPS educational like blocks, or just playing ranked blocks, or going over VODs blocks or whatever, or spending, you know, a chunk of time just doing TikToks, going live on TikTok, talking to that community or whatever. The end goal is just, I guess there isn't really an end goal because of how fast gaming evolves and how fast opportunities present themselves. But I think a long-term goal right now is to just allow myself the time to develop my communities across different platforms and see if doing this full-time is an opportunity, or if maybe keeping it as a hobby is the best way to go. Because, I mean, I'm 21 right now, so I have time to do this and experiment.
You have a lot of time. Just saying.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that I don't slack on my other responsibilities while I'm trying to maintain this.
Right. So wait, why YouTube over TikTok? It feels like not what everyone is saying right now.
Well, not YouTube over TikTok. So what I'm doing is I'm taking a TikTok, right? I'm uploading it to TikTok. And I'm also uploading it to YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Because of YouTube Shorts.
Oh.
YouTube has a bigger audience than TikTok. YouTube is way bigger than TikTok.
Right.
So doing TikTok, amassing an audience on TikTok is cool. It's awesome. It's beneficial. But it will never be just as good as YouTube. You know, having a million subs on YouTube, I think, is much more beneficial than having a million followers on TikTok. I could be wrong. But the way it looks right now and the research that I've done, it seems like YouTube is still like the place to be.
Right.
As long as you're doing all the stuff that you need to, like, you know, tags and description and all that stuff to hit recommended, to get those views, to get more subs, to really get put on like trending. Like a bunch of my friends have been put on trending like multiple times in 1 week.
Through
and their
shorts?
Numbers have. No. For just, regular videos. Just
regular videos.
Yeah, Shorts is still relatively new. Like, I uploaded one, and it got like 3,000 views. That's my most popular video right now, and it's only 12 seconds long.
What is it? Just if you don't mind asking.
Clip.
Just a clip.
This is a hour clip. Yeah.
So, does this mean that you're gonna start streaming on YouTube? Because, like, if you think about it, you know, if you're building that audience there, like, instead of trying to build an audience on TikTok, then get them to come to Twitch, then get them to come to your YouTube, then get them to come to your Instagram, makes a lot of sense to just like keep it all in one place, right?
Yeah, cut Twitch out completely. I've thought about it multiple times. One of the heads of gaming at YouTube actually followed me on Twitter recently.
Nice.
Yeah, super cool guy. He gave me some words of encouragement. And he's apparently, you know, I got his eyes on me, so that's dope. here's the issue. I am just trying to build these both these platforms out until one can offer me the check mark, either a YouTube gaming partnership or a Twitch partnership.
Got it.
So I have streamed on YouTube a few times. My viewership is much better on Twitch. There's also Twitch culture that I'd be missing out on. And, you know, we love Twitch culture, man. That's like a huge part of what makes Twitch Twitch.
When you say Twitch culture, you mean like the way people interact and chat on Twitch? Like that just doesn't even exist on YouTube?
Yeah. The way they interact, emotes, like the cross-platform memes and jokes. Like, you know, you see people using Keck W and Poggers on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like there's a bunch of memes that are made from Twitch emotes as well. Like it's a whole culture. It's awesome.
Damn, that's super interesting because there's a 100 Thieves guy that I'm friends with, and he recently asked me, like, Twitch versus YouTube, what are your thoughts? And it's really interesting to hear it directly from someone who's like looking at it every day. Wow. Like, I didn't think about the fact that like the culture just doesn't really exist there, but you know, YouTube Shorts seems interesting. I guess I'm curious now, like, okay, you're streaming, you're making your TikToks, you're focusing on Valorant. You seem to be really good at Valorant. Like, when you're really good at a game, you get to play with dope people, right?
Yeah.
So what's that experience like? Who have you played with? And does that help you get a following? Does it hinder you? Like, just tell us the story. I guess the Ahad Valorant story.
The Ahad Valorant story. Dude, this is probably one of the most, like, this is like a highlight of my life. 2020 was a highlight, dude. It was a movie. It was like, with everything bad going on in the world, with COVID and just all the events and everything, I got to sit at home and I got to play with people and meet people like Ninja and Jordan Fisher, Shroud, and numerous other professionals and titans in the gaming sphere. You know, like, I also got to reconnect with a lot of my other friends, older friends, like Dizzy and ACU. I've known them since I was like 16.
Wow.
And, you know, ACU like hosted me like 3 or 4 times. Dizzy gave me a shout out multiple times on his stream when I popped into chat. Like, it was insane. You know, like, it's honestly a learning experience playing with these people, like playing with Ninja, playing with Jordan Fisher and listening to them talk, listening to them interact with other people, listening to them interact with their own chats and just like having conversations and seeing like their point of view on things and like, you know, talking to Ninja and trying to understand like why he thought this was a good play and this was a bad play. It's interesting because I could take that same question, that same scenario to like Shroud or to ACU and ask them what they think of this play. And it could be a complete 180 on the situation. And it was just, it was a complete learning experience to see how people at the highest level think and play.
Wait, I want to hear the story though. How did it happen? How did you go from not being in Ninja's lobby and then being in Ninja's lobby?
Okay. So I'll start like April to 2020. Okay. And I'll go all the way to August. It's not too long, but it's pretty interesting.
Fire.
So April 2020, I've been approached by a few teams. Just not with contracts, just conversation. And one of them was 100 Thieves. And 100 Thieves got me into Twitch Rivals. Oh, they put me onto the 100 Thieves base team, which was Yasuo, XQC, Moxie, and then they ended up picking up JoMock.
No way.
That's so epic.
Mm-hmm. So me, XQC, Moxie, Yasuo, and JoMock played in Twitch Rivals against people like Shroud and Hiko and Swag and Skadoodle, AZK, and all these crazy gamers, right? I think a week later, I got invited to a few private Discords where they would run high-level 10-mans. And this is kind of where I got to play with Shroud and Nothing and AZK and Skadoodle and all these different, like, again, like just high FPS Counter-Strike legends. And, you know, it was awesome. It was such a good time. And that probably lasted for about till like the middle, like towards the end of beta, pretty much. We were running 10 mans like all the time. And then until ranked came out in beta, and ranked, when ranked came out, that's kind of when I met a lot of like, not the top people in gaming, but like a lot of the people that were just pro Overwatch players, like IDDQD, Kefri. You know, I got to meet like It's Timmy and Gale Adelaide, I think his name is. He's an Apex player, I think, or an Overwatch player, something like that. So that's like in ranked is kind of where I got to meet all those people, like Tempo, Lyric, Ace TKN, Deridium, like all these insane people from different games. And then when pro Valorant started to become a thing, one of my really good friends that I met actually way early on in 2020 ended up being on a team with Ninja. They were called 100 Blifted at the time. So his name is Morgazi. Or Morgoss, you guys.
Fortnite guy.
Yes, yeah. Fortnite.
One of the first ever PAX West, for those who didn't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolute beast. So Morg, Ninja, Danny.
Oh, were you playing with Sunny then? Because Sunny was playing with those guys back then, right?
Sony. No, I never got to play with that guy. Mm. That guy was pretty interesting. He was
How so?
I don't know, man. Like he was always very rude to me, so I didn't really like talking to him. Yeah. Like
he had this whole thing with Ninja that's like all over YouTube where they like were like publicly feuding, which is crazy.
I was gnarly.
Do you see that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame them for letting Sony go, because like I don't know. Like if you ever like told him that his play was wrong or like how to do something in Valorant, he would just get like super upset. And like, just wow. I don't know, dude. Like, I was playing the game like 10 hours a day every day, and I was like, just explaining something to him, and he just got like super triggered. And I was like, all right, man, whatever.
He just didn't take criticism well.
That's
yeah.
That's interesting.
That's crazy, because when I saw that, like, you know, the stream right before they all disbanded, to me, it felt like Ninja was that person and Sunny wasn't that person. But it was just my bias, because we actually know Sunny. I didn't watch enough of them to actually make the real understanding of it, which you just revealed. That's wild, bro. Wow. I feel like, you know, it's like when you see the other side of the story, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. All right, continue. Sorry. Just
It's all good. But yeah, him and Grego. A few months down the line into release, I honestly, I don't remember when, but I played with Ninja on like two occasions. It was just Morg and Danny. It was like me, Morg, Danny, Ninja, and I don't know if you guys know Cavern TV. Cavern, he's a really, really good Valorant player. Comes from CSGO, and him. You know, that was just an insane experience, man. Like, playing with someone, and he was off stream too, so he was like super chill. Like, he was just hanging out, and Ninja's really good at Valorant, man.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he focuses on. Mm-hmm. But like, when you hop in these lobbies, coming from like, because I think a lot of this value from this entire podcast is for smaller streamers, right? Mm-hmm. It's not every day you get into a lobby with all these top players.
Right.
What's the mentality going into that? Is it just ice in the veins? I'm going to do what I always do? Or is there just like these nerves where it's like, holy shit, if I pop off here, my career could be made, you know, if I could like get some eyes. Like, does that fuck with your head? Because I know for a fact, if I was in your position, I'd just choke. There's just no doubt about it. I just wouldn't be able to do anything.
I don't really get nervous like that. I think the only time I've ever gotten nervous like that was when there was Shroud, Skadoodle, Swag, and Nothing all in the team with me when I was playing in those 10-mans in beta. But that's because I've been watching these guys since I was like 13. And I was a diehard Counter-Strike fan, right?
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever been nervous. And even then, I still played pretty well. But like playing with Ninja, playing with Jordan Fisher, playing with, you know, all these people, like, it's not nerve-wracking.
He's got the ice in his veins.
Yeah, he's got the ice. I mean, you could tell.
Because you know what it also is, though? It's like, I know I play at the highest level. So there's no, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, there's no difference.
The confidence overrides any of those feelings. Got it. Yeah.
Which, by the way, what level are you in Valorant?
What's up?
What level are you in Valorant again?
I'm like top 700 in NA right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I might be top 800. I forgot where I ended off last night.
Yo, what rank is your Smurf, bro?
I have no. I think it's unranked. I haven't played on it since the leaderboard came out.
Okay.
I think like I accidentally got my old, like, before the wipe, I accidentally got my Smurf to Immortal 1.
Accidentally, you know, just to happen. It just happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so no control. Some context for the audience if they don't play Valorant. What's Immortal, Radiant? Like, how does that fare out in terms of the rest of the ranks?
So they kind of changed the ranking around. So now the way it works is like you have the regular ranks like Iron, Silver, Bronze, Gold, Plat, Diamond. But now Immortal is not three levels. It's only Immortal. And the top 500 Immortals, like in the big pool of Immortals, the 500 best Immortal players with the best rating are Radiant.
Where do you land amongst all of that? So you're an Immortal, but you're not Radiant then?
Yes. So if Radiant is top 500, I am 200 people behind those 500. I am top 700 in NA.
Jesus Christ. Wait, so, okay.
That's
then
crazy.
In terms of those people, how much of that population would you say are signed to teams as professionals? And how much of that population is like content creators?
Honestly, right now, it's hard to tell.
You can.
I can't. Because right now, the ranking system is kind of messed up. There is a lot of people that are supposed to be in Plat or Diamond and even Gold that are in Radiant because they are so they got to 5-stack to Diamond 3, to Immortal 1, sorry, right? So you got carried up to Immortal 1. Now, in Immortal 1, every game is a coin flip for you and your duo. Now, let's say that I am duoing with Sabrosa, arguably one of the best players in the scene right now, right? If I'm a Plat player and I'm duoing with Sabrosa and Sabrosa is basically winning every game for me and we got Radiant within the first 3 days when there's only like, I don't know, 200 Radiants and there's 500 slots. There's a lot of people that got into those 500 slots the first 2 or 3 days that now you're at Radiant and your teammates are all Radiant. So now every game is a coin flip, whether you win or lose. You're still in Radiant.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of keeping you above water because your team is kind of carrying you. But your actual mental process is at such a low level that you shouldn't be in that rank. And that's the issue that everybody's
like going through. Solo right now, bro.
He's literally shitting on so many people right now.
So many people. But it's not just me. It's everybody. You can go ask anybody this that plays at a high level and they will tell you the same thing. Because it's so, dude, I am a support player. Like, yeah, I frag out. I get a lot of kills, but I like playing support. I like playing sentinels and initiators and stuff like that aside from duelists. So when I'm playing a support role and the guy that's supposed to be playing duelist is dying first 10 seconds of every round, kind of fucks me over.
So wait, you know who are your agents? Like, who do you main?
I play everybody but Sova. But I'm learning Sova right now.
Russ is triggered. Only play Sova.
Russ is so triggered.
You only play Sova?
I only play Sova.
I respect it, dude. I respect Sova players a lot.
There's something weird about me where, like, in every game, I always play support, but mainly, like, the recon type person. So in Apex, it's Crypto because of his drone. In Valorant, it's Sova. So on and so forth.
I respect it. Sova is a very, very powerful agent. He is much more useful than people understand right now.
So let me ask you this.
What's up?
You know all about Valorant. You're in the top 700. You're streaming. You're getting a good audience now that you're back on Valorant. How do you, like, what does it look like for you? What do you think are your obstacles that you need to overcome now to make this thing, to start cash flowing so that you can take this full time and focus on it?
I don't know, man. That's like the hardest part is understanding those obstacles. Like, I don't know. I, as far as I'm aware, I'm doing everything right. But there's always room for improvement. There's always something I can't see. So from the feedback that I've gotten is just upload on YouTube more regularly. But that comes at a cost because time constraints, having someone edit the video for me because I literally don't. If I have time to record a video, I definitely don't have time to edit it. You know, uploading on TikTok more often. Now I'm kind of getting that. I have to kind of find time myself. So what I'm trying to do is have like dedicated editing days where I take a clip. I take like 5 clips or 10 clips and edit them in one day. I just have them to upload throughout the week. But I think just pumping out more content is going to definitely be the biggest obstacle. If I'm being honest, I think a team probably would have signed me by now. But I think because of COVID and the teams are not really having the best cash flow over the last year is the reason why I wasn't signed. But, you know, I think if a team signed me, I could definitely make a lot more happen in a short amount of time.
You have their resources. Would you consider, or have you even considered, just taking 6 months off work and just saying, I'm going to grind this for 6 months. If it doesn't work out, I'm just going to go back to work. Was that ever an option for you? Is it possible? Did you think about it? Not possible.
No, it's not possible. I live in California. I mean, I know you guys do too. So, like, you guys know this shit pricey, bro. Yeah. This shit expensive, man.
Yeah.
This shit, like, it's pricey, dog. It's not good. And I mean, we're moving now to a bigger house because I still live with my family. So, if anything, I'm just going to have to work more when I move. So, yeah. It's just a lot. Yeah. I would love to take 6 months off. I would love to even take 3 months off work. I even actually wrote a proposal to a team. Not going to say which team, but I told them, like, if you guys give me 60 days signed under your banner on your platform, I could exceed your expectations with zero pay. They said no.
That sounds like a really good proposal, though.
Yeah, what the fuck? Like,
what are they no to that? In that?
I don't know.
Interesting to think about.
Yeah, zero pay. Right? Don't send me merchandise. I'll buy my own merchandise. Just sign me under your banner. 60 days. Give me the platform. Let me see what I can do.
It might be that, you know, maybe you're too available, these people. Too vocal. I don't know. I don't know how any of this works, but, like, I also just wonder, you know, let me ask you this personal question. How's your family viewing this? Like, do...
They're with it.
They're with it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're with it.
Cool. That's you got that's the good
support.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you? Did
I mean,
you
he's still working his full time job.
Right.
So,
right.
And, obviously. And he's making money off a hobby. So, like, that's pretty prime right there.
They think it's cool. Like, it's not really a big issue for them.
Good. So there was no convincing or whatever. Because I'm just thinking, like, there's people listening to this that are like, yeah, but, you know, family. Like, I got to convince them too, right?
There was a little bit in high school. Because I finished high school when I was 16 in sophomore year. So
how did you do that? That's crazy.
I took a California proficiency exam and went straight to community college.
Got it. Sick.
But I didn't go to community college for like 6 months. I was just playing Counter-Strike for 6 months. But this is at the time where I wanted to be a pro Counter-Strike player. So I was like, you know, going hard in the paint. I was nuts. I was young. I was like, you know, insane at the game and whatever. And they didn't like that then. But that's because I was supposed to be going to school, but I spent months playing Counter-Strike and also like traveling and stuff, just kind of like taking a breather from school. Now they don't mind. Like, I went to TwitchCon. I have had sponsorships. I've been flown around the U.S. Like, they're chilling. They do not mind at all what I'm doing.
Cool. So to kind of tie up this segment, basically the goal is produce more content to get noticed by teams and sponsors to then make gaming a career for you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, from the outside, like you said, it seems like you're doing everything right. I think it's just a matter of time. I'm not just saying this because we're like homies and stuff, but like when you list out all these different things, it's like I can't name one thing more that you should be doing.
Just more content, so, I think. That's literally it.
Yeah, more content.
Other,
yes,
on
more
other content. Places.
So that just takes time and you're kind of just like constrained with that, but it's going to happen eventually, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I hope so too. You know, I feel like if I was given the chance to really take this full time, I could definitely do something cool with it.
All right. Given like a hypothetical world, you can just take as much time off as possible. How long would you think it would take if you could just only do this full time to get to where you want to be?
Excuse me, like 3 months.
3 months.
Because like in 3 months' time, the amount that I could do, the numbers that I could pull would be insane because I already know. So one of the biggest things that holds me back in terms of pulling more numbers on stream is during the day streams. I did day streams like last week because I was kind of free, but I can't always do day streams because day streams is when like
obviously
the best players play.
Got it.
And the morning queues and the East Coast queues where like the streams are popping, right? I can't do those because I'm at work. So yeah, I think 3 months, day streams, daily videos, twice a day TikToks, I would have the time to edit all that, record all that, and get that content out and also partake in the day streams. Day streams are huge for Valorant. Very, very big.
Wow. All right, Orgs, you heard that? He just needs 3 months. Just give him 3 months. Someone just give him 3 months.
Give me 3 months.
Anyone listening out there?
Give me 3 months and a jersey, and I'll make it happen.
I want to switch gears here. We have a little interesting segment that kind of just arose out of thin air last week. It's called Hype Cheeks. And basically, you know, we ask you about how the opposite sex or your romantic interests are in life. How are those things doing? Is there anything there? If not, like, what's going on?
I'll make this dumb quick for you, bro. There's nothing there. Okay. All right, next segment.
All right, next segment. Next
but
segment.
Is there? Is
wait, wait, wait. No, there's got, no, nothing like through your journey. Talking.
No, no.
No e-girl situation through your
that's
journey.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, a streamer your size has to have some
viewers.
Any e-girls.
They be calling. I don't pick up the phone.
They be calling, though, is what we got to mention. Okay. All right.
They do.
That's what we want to hear, though. That's what we want to hear, though.
I don't have time. I really don't. Like, I am way too busy. I'm way too dedicated to what I'm doing right now. So I can't have any distractions. I don't want any distractions. Nothing.
But if the right hype cheek slid in the DMs.
Let me ask, what's the history with your hype cheeks? Like, what's the history with your hype cheeks?
Nothing. There's no history, bro. Like,
You've never had a fling. You never had a girl.
I pretty much turned down every like opportunity for that that's ever presented itself.
Okay. Interesting.
Dedicated to the game, baby.
Like, just tell us a little bit about like what it's like being an e-boy on Twitter with e-girls hitting your DMs. At least, just like one interesting story, maybe something.
One interesting story. I honestly can't think of a specific instance, but I know that this has happened a few times with me personally, where like girls will like hit me up. And it's not even for something specific. It's just like maybe just trying to be friends or whatever. But you can kind of tell off the bat that they like want something, whether it's like to meet somebody that you know or like connect you with like, I've had girls hit me up to help them get sponsorships with companies because I used to work in esports. So I used to connect creators with businesses all the time. And I've had that a bunch of times where girls will like hit my line and like try to flirt their way into a connection.
Flirty thing's
actually,
wrong.
Now that you say that, I remember one of them who's actually was huge at one point. So we're not gonna say her name, but I remember one of them that you mentioned. I think it was a 1v1-on-1 call with you and me, but I thought Russ was in the call.
I remember. Yeah.
But
I think because I've had those experiences early on, I just kinda like don't talk to women on the internet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, maybe we talk about something that you want to talk about. What's the most fucking hype geek thing about you? Like, what's something you could geek about forever?
Computer parts.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I love computers. Like, So, actually, it's anything in terms of, like, computers, coffee, keyboards, and setups. I'm a huge guy for setups. So like if I showed you like my Instagram feed, aside from like food and fitness, it's just I wonder if I can focus this so you guys can see it.
So for those listening, this is the first time I've ever seen any guy's Discover feed have zero girls on it. And that's not just to say like it's because, you know, like everyone looks at girls on Instagram. No, like when we first started the Hype Geek IG and we weren't following anyone, literally it was just a mass of girls on the Discover feed. It makes zero sense. But okay, I saw
Instagram knows.
Yeah, fashion, fitness, hardware. I'm sensing a theme here. Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Coffee. Yeah. Talk to us about coffee because that's an interesting one.
Dude, I love coffee. I make pour over every morning. I grind the beans fresh in the morning. I have like my little pour over set. I have the filters and I have my gooseneck kettle. So,
yeah, I saw coffee. You drinking a cold brew. I think I have that brand. It's like the foam one. Yeah, I have that one.
La Cologne.
That's fire. It's pretty nice.
Bro, the first time I had La Cologne was in New York. Slapped.
I'm gonna order more, dude. I had this for the first time yesterday. It's so gas. It's I love so all good. Types of coffee, but cold brew is. I'm trying to learn how to make my own cold brew at home.
Oh, dude, let's talk because I can assist you in that. But
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, me and my brother used to do pour over, and then we kind of just got lazy. But we still grind our own beans. We don't get pre-ground. We still
it tastes
enjoy
way fresher.
Really,
dude.
Yeah, way better.
Way better.
We have a fire ass Breville machine. You know, makes coffee on point. Super customizable.
Yeah, coffee is literally one of my favorite things, dude. It's like it's calming. It's relaxing. It's something that kind of it's like one of those things. Like you wake up and you make your bed. You start your morning off with a win, right? You start your day off with a win. That's what the coffee is. You control it to the point where it comes out the way that you made it, literally, to the taste, to the smell. It's the temperature of the water, how much water, the orientation
that
you pour.
The way you pour, yeah, exactly.
All of that stuff. And when it comes out perfect, you just started your day off with another dub. It's Wait, another win.
Is there a way you're supposed to pour coffee? Out?
The, yeah. pour water onto the beans.
Oh, yeah. Oh! I thought yeah. like when I'm taking out of the pot, I gotta do like some.
No,
you don't have to. You don't have to summon the demons when you're pouring the coffee.
Well, damn. Okay, Ahad, mm-hmm. This has been an insane Hype Geek podcast with you, dude. We got to learn about your whole career, where you want to take it from there. And then a little bit about some hobbies that you enjoy. This is the part where you can just shout out all your shit, bro. So tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, gee. Twitter.com/Ahad. A-H-A-D.
When do you stream?
I love that.
What's your Twitch? When do you stream?
Twitch.tv/Ahad. A-H-A-D.
Wait, did you just get your Twitter handle? Like, you just be Ahad recently or something?
Yeah,
or
was it always in that? December. Yeah, in December.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, bro. Four letters. It's so sick.
So hard.
And I looked at the Instagram. The Instagram that has Ahad is not active.
It is active. She just I look at it every other day. She just deleted all her pictures like 2 days ago.
All of her pictures?
All of them. I don't know why. I just
she knows you're, yeah. She's knows she knows you're onto her, bro. She's just trying to wipe all.
Yeah, I'd be liking them sometimes, bro. Like,
oh, no.
I do that with my handle too. There's a company called so Drink Cat that's like some like orange juice company, and I just DM them like, dude, fire! I want to buy it honestly to have a bottle that's of my name on it.
No, wait,
I really
that would be
that.
So sick.
That's my wait, contact picture just for cat? You.
Yeah. No, it's Drink Cat.
That's oh, okay. Yeah. I looked at Just Cat, and it's like
that's
she has the filters from 2012 on her last photo.
That's literally
so.
My contact picture for. Oh wait, I almost just showed Cat's phone number on screen. Okay. Fuck, I can't. There's no way for me to show it. I don't think. But
you guys just find
it. There's the yeah, there it is.
Holy Drink shit! Cat, oh my god. Okay, yeah, dude. Wow, that was a great fucking stream. If you guys enjoyed awesome. This stream, thank you for joining us, Ahad. First of all,
thank you for having me, man. It was awesome.
Go check out his Twitch streams. Go check out his socials. He's next up, baby. If you enjoyed this stream, please go subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get it. Go follow us on @HypeGeek. If you're watching here live on Twitch, follow the channel. We do this every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This was amazing, guys. Thank you so much. And we'll be back next week.